intensity, consistency, reliability. The voice of Keith Brooking, and we're going to get a chance to hear from this man. Looking forward to talking to him. I haven't talked to Brook in a while. Coming up here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show live from Cobb County here on the Sports X. Want to remind you, since baseball is on pause right now, we have your baseball fix every night starting at 9 o'clock. We have Braves Extra Innings, where we are replaying the Braves 2019 season every night until baseball returns. And for the first time, you get to listen to the games for free on 680thefan.com and the TuneIn app. That's every weeknight at 9 o'clock and on the weekend starting at 1 o'clock only on the home of the Braves, Sports Radio 680 The Fan. I'm excited right now, Joe Hamilton. I'm really excited. Get a chance to walk down memory lane. Get a chance to talk to a man who was a top tackler in the ACC in 1995. This man is a bowl champion. This man is a five-time Pro Bowler. He is a man who played for the Jackets and with the Jackets. He played for the Falcons and with the Falcons. He is one of your teammates. He is one of our own as we talk to Keith Brooking, who joins us here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show live from Cobb County here on the Sports X. Brooke, how you doing?
Oh, man, I'm fantastic today, Brandon. Thank you for having me, Joe. Joe reached out to me about a week ago, and anything for my man Joe Ham, man. It's great to be on with you guys. Thank you very much.
So good to hear from you. Last time I saw you, Brooke, was at the induction ceremony at the Atlanta Sports Hall of Fame. It was so good to see you there. A night that was a lot of fun and had a lot of stuff where it walked us down memory lane. First and foremost, how are you doing now? You're living in South Carolina. How's the South Carolina life?
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. It's a great quality of life for me and my family. You know, I have four kids, 13, 12, 9, and 5, boy, girl. And so they keep me very busy. People ask me what I'm doing today now that football's over, and that sums it up, man. That sums it up right there. So, yeah, man, I'm back in Joe Ham's old stomping grounds in South Carolina, Bluffton, South Carolina, just outside of Hilton Head, and great quality of life, man. Good place to raise my family and start a football program at my kid's school last year. Lost one game in the inaugural season. I'll go ahead and pat myself on the back for that one. But so that's keeping me very busy and playing some golf and getting out in the woods and hunting a little bit and just enjoying life, man. Thanks for asking.
I appreciate you coming on, Brooke, man. I really appreciate that. Hey, what kind of coach are you, man? You hands-on? You get out there and show and tell with the drills? Or what are you, just sitting back with your hands folded and let the other coaches help you out?
No, man. So my kids go to a small private school in Bluffton. And not to bore you with all the details, but it's a very small school. So we're a middle school team last year. We're going to high school this year. So, man, we had, for our middle school team last year, 6th through 8th grade, we had 23 kids on our team. So just to let you know, though, 17 of them had never put on a helmet before last year.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. So it was –
You had to teach.
Yeah, no doubt. I was the head coach, offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, equipment manager, trainer, logistics coordinator, water boy. I did it all. But just like I said, we lost one game. Just an unbelievable year, and I got more joy and just seeing those boys grow and mature and just, I mean, you know, Joe, just what the game does for you, man, and having 17 of those boys never to have put on a helmet before, and watching them mature and grow in the game was just such a pleasure for me and such an honor, and really got more satisfaction, more joy out of that than anything I've ever done in the game of football, as crazy as that sounds, but it was just a lot of fun. So looking forward to the second year for sure.
Former Atlanta Falcon, Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, Keith Brooking joining us here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show here on the Sports X. What was the transition period like, you know, life after football? 15 years is a long time to play in the National Football League. How was the transition of, you know, I'm done with football, not sure if I want to coach, I know I'm not coaching, let me see where life takes me?
Yeah, well, that kind of, you know, when I was playing, you know, I was single for the majority of my NFL career. And, you know, I thought that I would want to become a coach and or get involved in media, do radio, analysis work, you know, something, just staying involved in the game for sure. But, then, I mean, you know, life changes, man. Your perspective changes in life. And, you know, I got married, had young kids. And when I retired, man, I just wanted – sounds a little cheesy, but it's so true, man. I wanted to be around my kids, man. I didn't want to – you kind of get one shot at them, you know. And I was fortunate to have the ability to do that, not have to work. And so, you know, the transition has been very easy for me. I mean, did I miss football? Yes, not really. I mean, I miss the guys. I miss the camaraderie. I miss the fellowship, which Joe can attest. I mean, I miss the plane rides and the card games and just what the game brings. But the football part of it, man, 15 years. I played 31 years. I started playing when I was 6 years old, so right. Didn't miss a year until I was 38, just before I turned 38. So, man, I got plenty of football. But I do miss the guys, and I'm a huge fan. I love watching the game. I've been coaching my boys for 5 years now. They love the game of football. It gives you so much, so I'm enjoying seeing them progress and get better and really love the game as well. So it's been really good, man. I've enjoyed it.
Keith, when you're talking about a week away from the draft and back in 1998, you had some feelings and what you were going through. Take us through the mind about probably a week away. What are some of these prospects thinking about? Is there anything they can do now leading up to the draft or the hay's in the barn pretty much right now?
Yes, it is. I mean, it's I think it just all depends on like how prepared you were through the process. You know, if you took advantage of, and this year obviously has been much different than the previous years, you know, so there's probably a lot of uncertainty, more uncertainty for the guys this year with everything that's going on in our country. But when I was, you know, back, man, in 98 before the draft, man, I didn't leave a stone unturned. I just felt like I prepared myself and I had done everything that I could possibly do to maximize my draft status and where I was going to go. And I was in a really good situation. I mean, I thought the worst case scenario for me was kind of 13 to Cincinnati. And I had some options at 5 to the Bears and Dallas at 9. And I mean, all those teams told me, just to let you know, they told me if I was there, they were going to pick me. Number 5 didn't pick me, 9 didn't pick me. And in Atlanta, fortunately, they picked me at 12. So I was in a good situation. But, man, it's nerve-wracking, you know, at this point, you know, not knowing where you're going to be and not being able to control. I controlled everything to that point. Man, it was out of your hands.
Right.
You didn't know where you're going to go, what city you're going to be in. So that part of it was nerve-wracking. But it's all a great deal, man. And just looking back, it was a great time of my life. And but there's some nerves there for those guys. And this year, probably more than any other year, because of the uncertainty and just how different it's been this year in the draft process.
Former Atlanta Falcon, Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, Keith Brooking joining us here on the Home Team in Hamilton show here on the Sports X. We could have you in for 2 hours just to talk about time with the Falcons, man. Talk about that period in your life, your career with the Falcons, because you were around just so many personalities, from Dan Reeves to Bob Whitfield to Jamal Anderson, Ray Buchanan, the different personalities of coaches, Dan Reeves, Jim Mora, Petrino, Mike Smith. I mean, we could use you as a historian for the Atlanta Falcons here in town.
There's no doubt. And I was just so fortunate to be around. Like looking back in the beginning, and you're right, man. We could chop it up for a long time. I got so many great memories and stories, and just relationships. And you had 4 head coaches, 7 at least 7 defensive coordinators, played like 4 different positions. I played 3 positions in 1 year, so it was like, I mean, I was asked to do a lot with a lot of different with a lot of transition, a lot of turnover in just 11-year period. I mean, which kind of, I mean, that's the NFL, really, to be honest with you. But I think we had a lot for 11 years, and it's just a lot of great teammates. Man, I was so fortunate my rookie year to play, you know, for Dan. Dan drafted me, just an unbelievable person, man, and coach, and. Had a huge influence in my career, and had Jesse Tuggle, Cornelius Bennett, just those veterans, Chuck Smith, on the defensive side of the ball to really learn the game and just not just that, but just their behavior and just their professionalism and just how to be a pro, you know. So I was so lucky and so fortunate to have those guys and then kind of transition into being the kind of the face of the defense and the leader of the defense. And, you know, Jim Mora, going from the – you can't get more opposite of the spectrum now from Dan Reeves to Jim Mora. And just, man, the nightmare of a season with Petrino. Good Lord, I could write a book on that one.
He should be banned from the state of Georgia is what I say.
No doubt, brother. And Vic, oh, gosh, man, I was just chopping up with Vic a week ago on a text thread. You're going to talk about 2 hours. I could talk about him for that long. It's just an unbelievable teammate, a person. And just got, now, I may rub some people the wrong way, but I feel like just was, you know, used as an example in the NFL for what he did. Not saying what he did was right, man, because it was wrong. But when you look, relatively speaking, to what other guys did at that time, and for Vic to have what happened to him was, man, it was unfortunate. And he paid his price, you know, and I think he came back stronger and better than ever. And just an unbelievable man and father and so proud of him. So, yeah, hated to see that happen to him. But, man, did he ever bounce back when he was given his second chance. So, yeah, and then, you know, with Mike Smith, that was a tough year for me too. I was playing a bad position for me, and I think it was time for me to go. You know, and I hate to say that because I would have loved nothing more than to finish my career in Atlanta. That would have just been a dream come true. But looking back on it, just with Mike, and I think he got his guy that he wanted, that was comfortable with his scheme and, you know, was playing to his abilities there. And so I went to Dallas to where four of my most productive years of my career in the league were with Wade Phillips, two in Atlanta and then two with him in Dallas. So I love that scheme, what he asked me to do. I wish I could have done that all 15 years, you know. So that worked out, and then ended it in Denver with Peyton Manning at last year. That was really cool too. So yeah, man, I know I'm long winded right now, but what an unbelievable opportunity for me to play in my hometown. Those fans and Arthur Blank and all the support that he gave me, and man, just so fortunate and just really just got a lot of great memories, man, to look back on and cherish. So it's really cool, man.
Former Atlanta Falcon, Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, Keith Brooking, joining us here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show here on the Sports X.
Keith, have you ever served as a player rep for any of those teams you were on?
No, did not. Let me tell you something, Joe. I had one job and one job only. That was the best I could be a linebacker. I didn't, man.
God bless
those dudes who were able to do that, man. I'm so, like, just atypical, man. Like, my mind, like, just narrow-minded, like, laser-sharp focus. So that was all I was worried about, man,
on the outside looking in, like, I know guys in the locker room, just like you're saying now, there's just, you know, kind of breeze over the CBA and, you know, whatever it is, that signing and all that. What would have been your process? Just look through it, have your lawyer look over it, or whatever the player rep say to go, and what direction you ought to go? Were you just trusting them to do that, or you were involved and really took your vote seriously?
No, I did. You know, like the 1 year where, you know, 2000, it was 2011, right?
Yes.
When the CBA, 2011. I was in Dallas. It was 2010 or it was 11. So when the CBA came up, I mean, I took that very serious. I mean, like, I just feel like, you know, the guys before me paved the way for me. And like, you know, we had an opportunity to kind of set up the guys, you know, down the road as well. So, yeah, I mean, and saying what I said as far as, like, I was laser focused and worried about being the best linebacker. I mean, I got as much information as I possibly could and made sure that, you know, you've got to look at it. When we're in that situation, you've got to look at it as far as the majority. Like, you can't be selfish and like, okay, man, we're all in different situations. You know, I was very fortunate to make the money that I made. So, and 90% of the guys in the league, whatever that stat is, man, we're not as fortunate. You know, I mean,
yes,
they're living
this
year, man. So you've got to look at it from that standpoint and vote, you know, according to that. You know, as difficult as that is, I mean, I think that's the best way to go about doing it.
You talked about Jesse Tuggle.
I think that's the right way.
You talked about Jesse Tuggle. You talked about Chuck Smith. You talked about Coach Reeves. Tell us about Joe Hamilton. Talk about Joe Hamilton, man, as a Jacket down there on the flats and you two guys on the field getting in. What kind of player and teammate and man was Joe Hamilton with that 1-4 on his jersey?
Okay, so here's the deal with Joe. Okay, I mean, the proof's in the pudding, okay? Just look back over the past, shoot, man, time flies, 25 years, okay? When Joe started roaming the flats there in Atlanta, and what now they've had some decent years since, but I mean, the proof's in the pudding, man. Like Joe, and let me tell you something. I got at least 30 dudes to back this up that had significant roles, you know, at Tech during that time, and I'm just unfortunate that I missed a really great year with Joe. I mean, he, not just the player. The stats and all that, you just go back and look at it, what he did there on the flats at Georgia Tech. But just his personality, the one thing I remember about Joe more than anything, just his personality and his leadership abilities and just how infectious he was with his teammates. And I promise you, dude, I'm not saying this because he's on the phone with me. That was his greatest trait. As great as a player as he was and as athletic as he was and what he did on the field, man, it was so dynamic. He was just a good dude, and guys wanted to be around him. And, my goodness, we had some good times off the field. Which Joe knows what I'm talking about. That's so important at that position more than any other position in football, man. It is the most important position in football.
But it
drives the train. So Joe had that, man, and that's what separated Joe. And that's just not – it's just me talking. I'm telling you, dude, dozens of guys that will back that up. So that's what I remember about Joe more than anything.
The story I love telling, Keith, you remember it will be your last year, and either we were in spring ball or even fall camp, and we were going goal line. And obviously, you know, I have a yellow jersey on, and I have, you know, do not hit me or what have you. And, you know, the competition, everybody live, one-on-one versus one. And I started to jaw, and knowing that I couldn't get hit. And you yelled at Coach O'Leary, hey, man, take the jersey off of Hamilton. Take that that practice jersey off and let him get into it. He's talking so much. So, anyway, I eventually took it off. And it kind of like, you know, we had a very intense moment then. And that's what I used to always love about the intensity when we went to practice.
No doubt, man. That's what we all love bringing to the table. You know, I mean, I think that's stuff like that's infectious. And that carries over to Saturdays, man, college football for sure. And we had a lot of those moments. And O'Leary, man, I don't know how many times I got kicked off the field for
I
wasn't supposed to hit him. O'Leary would come to me before practice and like, hey, Brooking, we need to get something going today. It's kind of dead around here, man. We get into the team period, and I start a fight to kind of get it going, and O'Leary kicked me off the field for doing what he asked me to do. I'm like, man, come on, man. You told me to get something going. Some good times, man.
Keith Brooking, former Atlanta Falcon, Georgia Tech Yellow Jacket, joining us here on the Home Team and Hamilton Show. One last thing before we let you go, Keith. You're the only man I've seen make Jesse Tuggle cry. I was at the press conference in 2000 when Jesse was retiring, and we're in the middle of the presser, and all of a sudden he stops. He gets a little bit choked up, and we look around, and you had led the other linebackers from the practice field and had come into the press conference, and you guys took a knee. And I ain't going to lie, I had to pinch one off because I thought I was going to get emotional. Just talk about the family atmosphere and what Arthur Blank, because you predated Arthur Blank, and then you got to play under Arthur Blank's tutelage of the team. Just talk about the family atmosphere and what you think about the Atlanta Falcons.
Okay, so Jesse, my goodness, man, I get chill bumps. An unbelievable man. Like, I have so much respect and just love for him. And just a pro that he – what an unbelievable example for me coming into the NFL and watching that guy go about his business every day. So, I mean, that's the least I could do to come in there and show respect for him and how much I love him and care for him. And still do to this day. I love seeing him and chopping it up with him and talking to him. And, man, that's what I miss with football, man, relationships like that and what football brings. I mean, it's just priceless, man. So, yeah, my 11 years in Atlanta, I mean, brought a lot of that, you know, and just, you know, Arthur Blank coming in, you know, in the early 2000s, you know, purchasing the team from Taylor Smith and believing in me shortly after that and extended me, you know, when I became a free agent, giving me a new contract and taking care of my family. And just I have so much respect and love for him and what he did for me. And really, man, not just for me, but what he's done for – and I think you, home team, you know this, man. Like, what he's done for the Atlanta Falcons and just that community. And he's as real as it gets when he gets on the radio and TV and he tells you that it's just not about the football. It's about Atlanta and the community and what that town means to him. So what he's done for that fan base and just to create an exposure for that team has just been unbelievable. So he's created a community, and that's what football brings. You know, it brings people together from all different walks of life, and it's what I love about it more than anything. And he's done a great job in that, and just got so much love and appreciation for my hometown and what that team, you know, is and will be. And Dan Quinn, my goodness, like, what an unbelievable guy. Like, just the very limited exposure I've had with him, and what a great man. You know, you cheer for him, man. I cheer for good dudes, man. He seems like an unbelievable guy, and I hope they turn this thing around this year. I know they finished strong last year. So, yeah, I'm a fan, man. I want him to do good in the draft, and I think I want them to. They, you know what the Falcons need? Can you got a couple more minutes? Let me tell you what the Falcons need. The Falcons need a difference maker on the D line, man. That's what they've missed. I really believe they've missed. I mean, obviously, Vic Beasley had a couple of good years, but they need that game changer, man. It's a quarterback driven game, and on the offensive side of the ball and defensively. You got to have that guy. You got to have depth there too. It's a taxing position, man. You got to have a rotation there that's going to affect the opposing quarterback. And I feel like that's, you know, it's, you can go a lot of different ways with it, but I feel like that's what they're missing more than anything. So hopefully they can get that, man. I'm a fan. I'm cheering for them. I'm pulling for them, for Coach Quinn to get this thing turned around and get back to where they were. You know what else they miss? They miss Kyle Shanahan. run game. They miss balance. They miss balance on offense.
Well, Keith, we're going to definitely have you back on. We need to definitely have you back on and do a Falcon focus, past and present, because I want to get to you with this Petrino stuff, the good times, and, you know, the bomb squad and all of that. And we certainly thank you for your time today. It's just not enough. We have to have you come back on, especially when you get on the other side of this thing. But we certainly thank you for your time, and we will be in contact soon. We love you, man.
Hey, man. Home team, thank you. Johan, much love, buddy.
Man.
Take care, man. Thanks for having me, and stay safe, everybody.
There he is, former Falcon, Georgia Tech, Yellow Jacket, Keith Brookin. We're going to have him back on.